Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by Covenant Church Spokane in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left, it's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. It's about the gospel of the kingdom, Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. I want to talk today briefly about what is happening in our country and what is happening in the church. And I want to take a different tack than we've really kind of talked about before on this show. There are many well-meaning people out there in the Christian church, no question about that. Very well-meaning. Many who say that this whole thing about standing up for religious liberty and all those kind of things is really much ado about nothing. And I want to take a tack strictly as a patriot today. And what that even means. Now, if you understand our founding, you understand that from the First Virginia Charter and the prayer of dedication the following year in 1607 at Cape Henry, that this country was dedicated to Jesus Christ. It was dedicated to God Almighty, and it was dedicated for the purpose of expanding the kingdom. Then in 1620, the Mayflower Compact, so the purpose of government was for the spread of Christianity. Then in 1643 and beyond, actually, the first document that combined all of the colonies together said that the purpose of government was to expand the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And people hear that and they're like, are you saying government is supposed to be entirely Christian? No, but the purpose of government was to protect the ability of Christians to do that, was to protect our God-given unalienable rights. That is the purpose of government. To protect our God-given unalienable rights, and just like Romans 13 says, to punish evil and promote good. Now, if it starts doing the opposite of all of those things, we know that that is tyranny. So from a patriot, just a purely patriot perspective, first of all, why is it even good to be a patriot? Why? Why do we even have ethnicities? Nations. Why do we even have them? And the answer is in the Bible, in Genesis. God made nations. He did. And nations, the real root of this is what we would call today ethnicity. It's not actually race, it's ethnicity. Because there is one race, the human race. And I don't know why that is so controversial, but it is so true. Biologically, physically, spiritually. Ethnicity exists. God created it. And so there is a natural patriotism for a nation. Now, it's interesting in the New Testament, the differentiation between nations and tribes is made. In other words, there's a whole bunch of families inside of a nation, right? But it also implies that there can be nations made up of different ethnicities, right? Which what we have in America. But in America, too, there was something that united us and still unites us. And that is the idea that God Almighty reigns, that Jesus Christ is king. There is no king but Jesus. It was a central idea that bonded us together. So it didn't matter what ethnicity you were of. What mattered is you understood that there was no king but Jesus. And so as a patriot, we want a national identity that there is no king but Jesus. That is actually a good thing. In fact, it has been Christianity that has allowed for diverse opinions and discussion on matters of religion or politics for that matter. There is freedom where there is Christianity. Now, if you go to Islamic countries, you don't find that. If they are promoting Sharia, there is nothing else but Sharia. And you, if you do not agree with that, are subsumed underneath that as a dhimmi. And so, and you can go look up what that is. Somebody subject to the jizya tax. So in America, part of being a patriot is acknowledging this central idea that was the agreement from the beginning. And the agreement from the beginning cannot at all be eviscerated by later generations. You either agree with it or you go find another nation. And that's okay. There is no issue. But you either agree with the central point, in our case, enumerated in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, or you don't and you leave. That's okay. So being a patriot has to be central to being part of the community here in America. And I would argue being a patriot has to be central to being a Christian in America. Now, that's not to say that patriotism somehow overrides Christianity, because then that would be saying that there is a king above Jesus when there's not. But the understanding of patriotism being central to Christianity, in other words, America exists. My patriotic duty to defend America, it exists so that the kingdom of God can spread throughout the world. And so patriotism is inextricably linked to the church in America. And in other countries, that's the case too. Look at the Polish. The Polish dedicated their country to Jesus Christ, and they're Polish patriots. They're fantastic people. And they are undoubtedly Polish, and there is no problem with that. And as Donald Trump said, as President Trump clearly laid out, it's okay for you to have your country and want the best for your country. Awesome. And it's okay for us to do it too. And so this patriotism that we're talking about that has been kind of shunned by some churches in America today is a patriotism that actually sheds light on where their true heart is with Jesus Christ. And that may seem a little complicated, but it really actually is pretty simple. Now, today, we need God-fearing patriots in this country. And what's fascinating is I have run into people of Jewish descent that have been very clear that they're patriots too, because they believe in the Judeo-Christian values that undergird this country. And so the idea of saying that we, you know, we somehow don't recognize the Old Testament is just as ridiculous. And a lot of people haven't even read it. And the reason I know that is because when they brought up this whole lying, just total lie about Deuteronomy 20, and I asked people, have you actually read it? Have you actually read the original Hebrew? And every single person that I asked that was the supposed expert said no. I said, so you're ignorant, and out of your ignorance, you are admitting that you're just parroting some line from the communists. And so with that idea in mind, and the idea being that we need to start reclaiming clearly and articulating clearly our Judeo-Christian heritage and foundation, and that is the patriotic thing to do, is going to be central to what happens here in the next few months. And now from the front, your daily intelligence briefing. On the international front, fascinating, absolutely fascinating find in the Middle East, in the Judean desert. And I hope everybody's sitting down. You can find this on Debka File. A daring Judean desert expedition uncovered stunning and poignant finds. The first biblical scroll fragments to be discovered in 60 years are among the awesome relics unearthed in Israeli Antiquity Authority's excavations in the most remote caves of the forbidding Judean desert. More than a score of 2,000-year-old Greek translations of Zechariah and Nahum were discovered with only the name of God written in Hebrew, as well as some baskets and the mummified skeleton of a 6-year-old child. This expedition was launched in 2017, and this was because of the looting of priceless sites after the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls 70 years ago at Qumran. The scroll fragments were found in the craggy Cave of Horrors, so named for its inaccessibility, flanked by gorges some 80 meters below a sheer clifftop overlooking the Nahal Hever. This cave can only be reached by rappelling precariously down the crumbling cliff face. This is, okay, so knowledge is increasing right now, and it's going to be very fascinating. It's going to be very fascinating to get these 20 or so biblical scroll fragments translated, because it's in Greek and it's 2,000 years old. This will conclusively tell us the translation accuracies of the New and the Old Testament in Greek. And so, this is just one more find showing that there is an increase of knowledge in this time. Also, Israel preparing to deploy more Iron Dome technology due to the threat coming from several other countries around them. So we're going to keep our eyes on that. I mean, obviously, there has been a push to create a crisis in the Middle East, and we're going to keep watching that as we approach the summer. All right. Couple of things. And one of these is pretty incredible, actually. I want to start with what has happened with COVID-19. Now, we had Dr. Simone Gold at Covenant Church here on Sunday for both services. She did a fantastic job. We're going to make sure that video stays up on the internet, so we are posting it across various social media platforms. But fantastic job. And one of the striking things that she said was that according to the vaccine adverse event database, so the VAERS database, they have essentially admitted that over 1,100 deaths temporally, in other words, in time with the COVID so-called vaccine, it's really a gene therapy, have occurred. Now, causation does not create correlation. We know that, okay? But to give you, and this is out of 50 to 60 million doses, and to give you a comparison, she listed off that 150 million flu doses have been given and only 15 temporal deaths associated with the flu vaccine. So that's fairly alarming. But also coming to us from the New American, more countries now are suspending AstraZeneca's COVID vaccine over blood clotting fears. So Sweden and Latvia joined Germany, France, Italy, Spain, Denmark, Norway, Ireland, and the Netherlands in halting the immunization programs. Ah, yes, but only temporarily. So the question that Dr. Gold brought up that I think is really prescient to what we're talking about today is this. If you are under the age of 70, it's a 99.9% survival rate. Okay. If you are over the age of 70, it's 94.5. So first of all, from a purely legal standpoint, that means they are admitting by their own numbers, this is not legally an emergency. So which means it is not constitutionally an emergency, okay? Because the burden of proof is on the government to show first an actual emergency and second that the activity or civil right that they're trying to curtail is actually causing the emergency, which they cannot do. I mean, you just take a business out there, they cannot do that. And this is going to be proven in court here very shortly. They can't prove it. They can't show it. And so they lose immediately on the fact that by their own admission, this is not an emergency. So if it's not an emergency, why are they using an emergency procedure in America? Because the vaccine is under an emergency procedure and by definition is experimental. It is by definition experimental. That does not end here for a little while. It is still by medical and legal definition experimental. Why are they rolling out as an emergency an experimental vaccine, gene therapy, if there is no emergency? Why are they implementing control mechanisms if there is no actual emergency, in fact and in law? Why are they doing that? That's the question that needs to be asked right now. Because an emergency cannot be, as a matter of law, something fleeting. It's got to be something extraordinary or outside of the ordinary. And it just isn't right now. It just simply is not. The flu numbers are interesting because it's like we don't have a flu this year. And then when you get into the comorbidities, the actual conditions that are associated with the so-called COVID deaths, and now they're trying to shoehorn in all these other things to create a crisis. Why? Why are they doing that? And it's for these control mechanisms that they're putting in place. There's no question about it. Go check out that article in the New American. I think it's just absolutely abominable what happened in New York. Wow. So we are living in an era where truth is fleeting. So, all right. Also want to talk next about what is happening at the border. But before we get there, coming to us from InfoWars, they are reporting that a doctor has lost 22 patients after the COVID gene therapy. It's going to be interesting to see if this actually plays out, but we're going to keep our eyes on that as well. And again, before we get to the border, want to make sure that we talk today about China. And if you have not read the book called Unrestricted Warfare by two Chinese colonels that says essentially every aspect of human life is warfare. Everything from medicine to construction and manufacturing to politics. Then you don't understand the threat to this country. And today, and this coming to us from InfoWars as well, the Biden intel community released a report claiming China did not try to influence the 2020 election, which contradicts the former director of national intelligence initial assessment of the finding that China did interfere with the 2020 election. So who's telling the truth? Well, clearly China tried to interfere, and there that has, I think, been extremely well established. But again, why are they doing this now? Why are they doing this now? Well, I have a question for you. If the border was locked down because of COVID, and COVID is still an issue, why are the borders being opened? More importantly, why are the borders being opened to people who were admitting that they were infected with COVID? Let's talk about that for a second. Why would they do that, right? Again, there is a clear attempt here to collapse our economy, to create a crisis in the Middle East, to set us up for some sort of a cyber EMP type of attack back here in the American homeland. Okay. This is an issue that affects civilization because they literally want a social credit score for all of us. This is coming to us from Liberty Sentinel. They've got a great interview on this. But the fact is they want to get more control. They want to take these things that have been used for marketing with 2,400 data points and turn that into now a weapon against the citizens of this country. And they've been clear about it. So, and this isn't a Catholic thing or a Protestant. This is a Christendom thing. This is an attack on Christendom. That they want to continue to implement these control mechanisms. You can't travel. You can't go here. You can't buy and sell something. That sounds familiar. You can't do anything unless you have this gene therapy. But wait a minute. There's not an emergency. Why do we need the gene therapy? Again, this is an excuse to help implement the policies of socialism. And many people are out there under the false notion that we're actually going to have free and fair elections across the United States in 2 years. And the actual answer to that is there may be free and fair elections in some states, but not in the country as a whole with what has already happened. And so if that's the case, we need right now to be holding our elected officials' feet to the fire. And when we ask them to do something and put the reputations on the line to stand up against this garbage, they should do it. instead of like one local elected official who actually advocated for the Chinese social credit score system for our businesses here locally, a so-called Republican. Insane. They need to be standing up right now. There is no more excuses. And I hear this all the time. My hands are tied. I can't do anything. My hands are tied. I can't do anything. When in actuality, they can do a heck of a lot more than they're doing right now, which is sit on their hands. This brings me back to this find in the Middle East. And they have got some pictures there. It's also on WorldNet Daily. But this brings us to one of the fragments that they found. It's from Zechariah 8, 16 through 17. And this is the quote from this fragment that they found in the Judean desert. Here it is. These are the things you are to do. Speak the truth to one another. Render true and perfect justice in your gates, and do not contrive evil against one another, and do not love perjury, because all those things I hate, declares the Lord. How appropriate is that today? How appropriate is that today? And that brings us here to the national front. A couple of things that I want to highlight here too. This at the national level is something that we need to talk about now. So you're going to hear this first. Probably some of you are very educated, and you are very well read. You may have heard of this, you may not, but coming to us from Technocracy News, the global oligarchs are now rehearsing for a cyber pandemic, a pandemic of black hat cyber attacks against critical infrastructure would necessitate mandated and authenticated digital IDs for every person on Earth prior to being allowed internet privileges. Secondly, emergency shutdowns would cause economic chaos again. This is an article, and I'm going to post this up on the social media pages. This is an article that is absolutely critical to understand where these folks are headed. They're telegraphing where this is headed, and this backs up what we've been talking about on this show for a while now. And that brings us now to the local front. April 8th, Iron Sharpens Iron with Bevelin Beatty, Ken Peters, myself, and several others at Covenant Church Spokane, 6:30 on April 8th. Also, April 16th and 17th, the Young Adults Rooted Conference. If you have a young adult and they want to learn leadership in a kingdom mindset for this day that we're facing, please join us. And you can find more about that on the Covenant Church website. And we also have, coming up here March 24th, we have a Light the Fire Youth Rally Night. And more information about that you can find on the Covenant Church app. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. And make sure you get a chance. Share the truth. Share Dr. Simone Gold's speech at our church on Sunday. You can find that on the Covenant Church website. And that's at cov.church, cov.church. Also, you can find this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, and iTunes. All right, that brings us to our guest today, Bob Marshall. He served in the Virginia General Assembly for 26 years as a Republican legislator. Boy, that alone is a tour of duty that rivals no other. He is also the author of Reclaiming the Republic and co-author of Blessed Are the Barren, which is really a history, the true history of Planned Parenthood. Bob, thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing? Well, it looks like we're still on, so hang on just a second.
I don't have them yet.
Okay. All right. So we're going to keep going here, and I want to talk a little bit about the history of Planned Parenthood, and we're going to talk a little bit, too, about this cancel culture that has been happening, and why are they doing it now? So this book by Bob Marshall, Blessed Are the Barren, it's a social history of Planned Parenthood, and it talks about where this actually came from. And Planned Parenthood is, in fact, founded by Margaret Sanger, who made several comments, and we have the primary source documents, that are extremely concerning and that very clearly point to her advocating for eugenics back in the day and associating with people who advocate for it. And so some people say, well, she didn't exactly directly say that. Well, in the people that she associated with, certainly did. And several of the statements that they try to downplay, pretty clear, pretty devastatingly clear. So we have the Church of Planned Parenthood coming up this next week, next Tuesday. So bring your friends and family to worship with us. It is always a peaceful, worship time. Many people have found it healing, especially post-abortive women, a real healing time, and also a time just to fellowship with great folks. And it starts at 7 o'clock. All right. Let's go to this cancel culture right now. And before I want to just stop for a second so I connect the dots a little bit on this. Okay, virtually every new economic system is digitally based and partnered with or run by central banks. Okay, this is already happening. So when the Federal Reserve's ACH system was hacked or attacked or whatever a few weeks ago, these economic systems are connected digitally. In addition to that, virtually everything, every major thing that we have as far as a utility has something in it that translates the digital into the physical, okay? The digital into the physical. In other words, you can send a digital signal and it will translate into a physical action. And this is through something called SCADA systems. These are supervisory control and data acquisitions. They can comprise all kinds of different things. But mainly think of software and hardware elements that monitor, gather, and process real-time information, but also translate into physical action. So let me give you an example. So a SCADA system that monitors and controls a dam, for example, those systems, if they are not hardened, are prone to attack. It can be attacked through cyber, attack through EMP, in other words, overloading an electromagnetic pulse, overloading the system. And so they have to have things in place. It's actually relatively cheap to harden the grid in America and harden some of these SCADA systems, relatively cheap, because all you're doing is putting in essentially a breaker where if there's an attempt to overload the system to destroy it, it automatically cuts off. And that's a really overly simplistic view of it, okay? So this translates into something physical, all right? And so where we used to have manual controls over certain things, we don't have that much anymore. And so this translates into utilities, gas pipelines, water pipelines, electricity, but it also translates into banking. And part of the global reset being promoted by the World Economic Forum, among many others, and Klaus Schwab and a bunch of these guys that are globalists and admitted globalists. So they are tipping off right now what they think is going to happen. So I want to read this to you. Last year, the World Economic Forum teamed up with the Russian government, how could that go wrong, and global banks to run a high-profile cyber attack simulation that targeted the financial industry, an actual event that would pave the way for a reset of the global economy. The simulation, named Cyber Polygon, may have been more than a typical planning exercise and bears similarities to the World Economic Forum-sponsored pandemic simulation, Event 201, that briefly preceded the COVID-19 crisis. Okay, I want to stop there for a second. They always seem to do this. They always will war game this, and they will put on paper what they're about to do. Now, the Transition Integrity Project report, the TIPS report, from last August essentially says clearly what they are about to do in the election. To the point, it actually says that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is going to leak a memorandum essentially saying that they're not going to support the president, which is exactly what happened. I mean, it gets that detailed. So Event 201 that briefly preceded the COVID-19 crisis laid out the framework for the control mechanisms, read lockdowns and other control mechanisms, but primarily lockdowns, that hurt the economy dramatically and what their response should be to it. Well, now they have this cyber polygon.
I have them.
And that is going to be the template that they're going to try to use on this next cyber crisis. So with that, again, I'm going to introduce our guest today, Bob Marshall, 26-year state legislator from Virginia, author of Reclaiming the Republic, and co-author of Blessed Are the Barren, A Social History of Planned Parenthood. Bob, thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to talk about the cancel culture, and I was getting into a little bit of the how they're kind of ramping this whole thing up at the cyber level, and I didn't get to the point of where they're going to try to cut off. They're going to make cyber essentially indispensable and then try to cut off or cancel Christians across the board. I want to get your sense, and just if you can prepare the audience right now, your sense for kind of where this cancel culture, number one, comes from, and then number two, kind of what their arc is, what their trajectory is right now in America.
Actually, if you want to go way to the origin of it, it's in the early centuries of the church with a phenomenon called Gnosticism, in which these people had philosophies which condemned you if you denied what they are saying. In other words, you weren't allowed to challenge them. You weren't allowed to assess anything, which is basically what's going on right now. They didn't believe that Christ actually came in the flesh. They thought that the material universe was basically a thing of clay and wax, could be remolded according to human desires, which, of course, throws natural law completely out the window. And we are now seeing a resurgence of this in the United States with this so-called transgender phenomenon.
Well, and I think that it started, and many of us warned about this, with the whole domestic partnership movement here 12 years ago, actually 14 years ago now, where they said, oh, no, it's about love. Why are you guys so against love? We're not going to do anything more than this. And then that was not where they stopped. They went to the next level and the next level and the next level. And it was always, oh, we're going to stop with same-sex marriage. And that didn't happen. Now it's transgenderism. And now they are already, and we've seen articles on this in the last 2 weeks, they're already trying to mainline pedophilia, which is absolutely disgusting, but they're doing it, and many people have predicted this.
Let me tell you what, if you look at the Equality Act, they identify the conventional heterosexual marriage as a stereotype. So if it's a stereotype, that means you don't need two people, and you certainly don't need heterosexuals. So, I mean, it's actually in the bill. I'm not making it up. I wish I were, because this is the little foot in the door, camel's nose under the tent, you name it. This is the entree, formally, by federal law, if this thing passes, of polygamy.
So right now, do you think the Equality Act is actually going to make it all the way through? Or do you think they're going to try to keep doing the incremental thing and just take maybe only a part of it this year and then try again next year? Or do you think they're really kind of running toward the finish line right now?
They don't need anything else if they get the Equality Act. I mean, this is better than them, to them than the Equal Rights Amendment, because you're getting it. And you don't have to go through all the states ratifying it and Congress pushing it out again. This is as dangerous as it can get, because they are smiling their way through, not pointing out these serious consequences. Let me give you an example. What they're doing is making all these nonprofits so-called public accommodations. What is a public accommodation? In the civil rights law of 1964, it was like a restaurant, a hotel, motel, public entertainment center, like golf course, things like that. What is now a public accommodation is a church, building, or a private school building. Now, think in terms of race. You cannot discriminate based on race for going to a restaurant. I mean, nor should you. You can't discriminate based on race for going to a movie. All you're going to do now is substitute, instead of race, sexual orientation. In other words, the Christian institutions are treated as if they were cross-burning, Klan, white sheet-wearing Ku Klux Klan members. So if you have this on you, you can't make any distinctions according to sexual orientation. And by the way, there are two words that are not defined in H.R. 5. What do you think they are, just as a for instance? What two words would seemingly be related to this, but they're entirely omitted when it comes to sexual orientation?
I have no idea, but go ahead.
Time's up. Male and female. I mean, you would think something as fundamental as that would be the
right
basis for taking off, but they don't want any firm foundation, because they want to slip around and make it totally subjective, which again is what the Gnostics did in the first two centuries.
That's exactly what they did. I actually, when I first became a lawyer, one of the assignments I had was to define what a man was and what a woman was, because they said eventually someday this is going to come into question. And back then, years ago, I thought, that's really stretching. But no, here we are right now. And the fact of the matter is, gender can be determined in 99.9% of the cases by the presence or absence of a Y chromosome. It's really that simple. But
right,
team reality is being hit hard by team fantasy right now.
Well, it actually was a reference to that in one of these abortion decisions where you get to create your own universe and thinking. It was the Sandra Day O'Connor. So this is the now legal side of this coming to pass, and it is very dangerous. I mean, I can't emphasize how dangerous this is because of what can happen. If you are a Christian school and you adhere to the ethics of Moses and Jesus for what marriage is, and really you should, regardless, Presbyterian, Methodist, Catholic, Baptist, whatever. The fundamental moral principles are enunciated by Moses and Jesus. If you adhere to that, you cannot accommodate anything that attempts to compromise or alter one man, one woman marriage. You just can't do it. And I mean, you can do it, but you're not going to remain a Christian. You're going to maybe have your Christian appearance, but you're losing your roots, you're losing your mooring, and you can't be a little bit pregnant in things like this. So So that is, I mean, that is where we are. But let's go back to the school. If you have a Christian school and you have a, say, a vacancy for teaching, let's say one of these individuals from the Human Rights Campaign finds out that's the major homosexual lobbying organization in the country. I mean, they're very well-funded. They're very shrewd, cunning, proceed in very slick ways with great subtlety. So you find out that there's an opening at the Free Will Baptist Church for a math teacher. You apply. When they go over your biography, they want to know where you're married and say, oh, yes, and you're a guy. I say, my wife, Sam, is supportive of this. I say, Sam, okay, is that short for Samantha's? Oh, no. Sam is my husband, and Sam's a man like I am. I say, wait a minute. We can't have that there. Even though you're not going to teach Christian doctrine, you've got to be given a Christian witness if you're going to have a school that is a mirror of what Christ is supposed to be about and what Christianity is supposed to be about. So you say, look, very sorry, nothing personal against you, but we need people to live the example, not just mouth it, to live it. Thank you very much. Goodbye. This guy goes and tells somebody else, and he sends 9 of his friends there. Let me tell you what has happened. If this school was part of an association that has more than 500 people in it, that school is going to be subject to lawsuits of $500,000 for each of the people who could not get the job because they were they wouldn't fit the model of what you want in teaching in that school. So that's $5 million that school is going to pay out. Now, how many times do you think a Christian school is going to be able to pay that out? And again,
yeah, never, yeah.
Oy vey Maria, I guess that's right. Listen, you are guilty. There's no two ways about it. That's the way they're writing the law. They're doing this to take down the Christian churches. This isn't like Henry VIII, you know, having the knights plunder all the monasteries. This is going to be the lawyers taking suits and filing them, and they're going to win if this statute, if this passes. So I can't emphasize enough to your listeners to contact your two senators from Washington State, from Idaho, from Oregon. It doesn't matter how they've voted in the past. They need to hear from you, and they need to realize there's going to be a price to pay if I vote this way. Recently, there was a vote on an amendment offered to the, the COVID Relief Act, I forget the number, and it was offered by Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama or Arkansas. Anyway, he was a football coach in high school boys, and he coached girls basketball, and he put an amendment on this $1.5 billion bill that said no money may be used basically to require girls to compete against boys in NAIA athletics. The amendment lost by one vote, 50-49. The senator from Alaska who would have probably voted against it, a Republican, had a death in his family, so he wasn't there. Even if he was there, this would have been tie-broken by Kamala Harris. So, but you need to, in other words, I'll bet most of your listeners don't know about that, but you need to contact, you go to, Who's My Senator? It's just a website at the United States Senate. Check off your state, either Washington State, Idaho, or Oregon. Contact both of those people. Why do I say to do that? Because the bill, House Bill 5, is going to be up tomorrow for a hearing in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Now, in the House of Representatives, when they had the hearing, this was in 2019, there were 8 witnesses. 6 witnesses were for the Equality Act. 2 witnesses were against it. The 2 witnesses against it were ladies. They spoke to questions of women athletics, women's economic opportunities. Nobody took up, and again, these are valid concerns about this, but nobody took up the sanctimonious, malicious charges that were leveled against Christians about how you are just hateful, spiteful, bigoted, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Nobody defended the church. Now, in other words, we were completely shut out. And when the Christians are shut out, this is cancel culture, when the Christians are shut out, they're not going to have their voice heard. That's why you have to make up for what Nancy Pelosi and Jerry Nadler of the Judiciary Committee did by icing out the Christians. I mean, the First Amendment says you can't make a law, you know, in banning free speech. Well, our witness was completely, we weren't even in there to be banned. We weren't even invited. So you have got to call these senators from these three states, and you must do it tonight, leave a message, or do it tomorrow, put it on your, you know, church alert system, but do it. They have got to hear from us. The grassroots have not been active for whatever reason. I mean, if you read the papers, you think, oh, this is, you know, just like racial discrimination. No, it's not. Absolutely not. So,
I find it interesting that they're actually including in this not just sexual orientation or those kind of things. They're also including in this abortion. And, you know, we hold the church at Planned Parenthood. And we do this every month. But they're actually putting that in there. And also, if you could comment on this, federally chartered banks would be prevented from loaning money based on this.
Now, let me explain that. In 1964, there was a lawsuit taken by the Heart of Atlanta Motel or Hotel, and they challenged the 1964. Actually, I guess the case was 65 from the Civil Rights Act of 64. And the owner of the motel said he wasn't going to accept black people. Well, they went to court. He lost, even though he was claiming his clientele was local. The court said it doesn't matter if it's local. Indirectly, Congress, through the Interstate Commerce Clause, can affect local happenings. So if you cannot discriminate based on sex and keep black people out of a hotel, and I don't think you should, I'm just saying, again, this is how it follows. Calling a church a public accommodation, you are not going to be able to get a loan. Why won't you get a loan? Because you want to use the loan for an illegal purpose. What is that illegal purpose? The illegal purpose is saying, I'm listening to Christ when it comes to who we marry in this church. I'm listening to Christ to who it comes to, who we allow to teach our children. What this says, if you take Christ as your guide or Moses, you are not welcome in the United States anymore. I can't put it any plainer, because making those distinctions is now illegal. You can't get a loan to fund an illegal purpose. End of discussion.
Wow. Bob, in the last 2 minutes that we have left, if you could tell people where they can go to get more information, read more about what you're talking about here and where they can take action.
Actually, I did an article about this, about the women's aspect and about the Christians being cut out, at a website called Catholic Culture. It's for everybody, which is called Catholic Culture, and just type my name after that. But after you do that and read it and get ready, go to, just type in, who is my senator? It'll take you to a webpage to the United States Senate. You'll have some options there. Just click your state, and there'll be contact information, phone numbers, emails for your two senators from Oregon, Washington State, and Idaho. Contact those people. Leave them your name and tell them, do not do this. Do not make girls compete against boys. Do not shut down the Christian churches. Look, if you don't want to have an adoption to go to homosexually married couples, you're going to lose that case too. I mean, look, adoption stands at the foundation of Christianity. Why? Because Joseph, St. Joseph, is the foster father of Jesus. The Davidic descent for Jesus was traced through Joseph, not Mary. So here, Christians were adopting people 1,800 years before the United States even existed. And now, these people, the Human Rights Campaign, but especially Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi, have the temerity to say, you guys are really second class. You're discriminating. Well, you know what? When I drive on the road, I discriminate. I drive on the right-hand side of the road. I don't go down to the middle with a line under me.
That's exactly right. And I think right now, what you said that really struck me was essentially the illegal activity is Christianity.
Period.
Yeah, that is stunning as the seat, in least in Western society right now, of Christendom being America, they are quite literally trying to attack the very foundations. And I want to thank you, Bob, for joining us today and for highlighting all this stuff and bringing it to our attention.
Thank you for putting this program on. Your voice in the wilderness.
Amen. Bob Marshall, keep up the fight. Bob Marshall is an author, and I'm going to go through his books right now. So if you're taking notes right now at the end of the show, I want to give you a little bit of a stall here while you get your pen and paper out. He's a 26-year legislator from Virginia, author of Reclaiming the Republic, and co-author of Blessed Are the Barren, A Social History of Planned Parenthood. So check those out. I'm going to post his article up on Facebook on all of our in all of our other different platforms out there as well. Share this with your friends and family. Get the word out right now. They are literally trying to make Christianity illegal in America. That is literally where this is going. And this is not hyperbole. You just heard Bob talk about this. This is part of a plan. It is intentional. And ultimately, this will translate not just into the federal banking system, which we heard, but also they want to cancel us off of any free speech at all on the internet. And that's why they need to bring all of these economic systems together in the cyberspace. They need to bring all of these social media platforms together so that ultimately they can cancel those they disagree with that don't meet the criteria based on their social credit score. A Brave New World, 1984, almost doesn't even describe where we're at right now. But either way, this is Matt Shea. Thanks for joining me today on Patriot Radio. Keep up the fight.